Good morning. I'm Commissioner Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President, calling to order the regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on August 18th, 2022. The time is now 10:01 a.m. This meeting is being held at the Fabulous Center. Also present are Commissioners Keller and Marzano, and Commissioner McCarthy is present via video teleconference. Commissioner Ng will be joining us shortly. The first item on our agenda today is a special order of business. We will recess into a closed session as provided for under RCW 4230-140 to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement until 10:15 a.m. Mr. Eric Johnson, would you?
I don't need to say anything yet. It's for the 10:15.
Oh, well, thank you. That's it for now. Good morning. Again, I'm Commissioner Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President. We were in a Open Public Meetings Act exempt closed session to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement from 10 o'clock to approximately 10:19 a.m. We will now recess into executive session until 11:50 a.m. We will be discussing the following items: one item of national security, one item of performance review of public employee, one item of real estate selling leasing, one item of litigation, real estate selling and leasing. All these are consistent with RCW 4230. The public session will begin at 12 p.m. And I would also like to invite Mr. Eric Johnson, our executive director, to talk about real estate items in executive session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the record, Eric Johnson, executive director, Port of Tacoma. The factors that will influence the real estate discussion in executive session are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and finally, consistency with our strategic plan. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I am Commissioner Don Meyer, Port of the Commission President, returning to order the regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on August 18th, 2022. The time is now, I believe, 12:01 p.m. We were in executive session from 10:15 to 11:34 a.m. to discuss one item of national security, one item of performance review of public employee, one item of real estate selling leasing, one item of litigation, real estate selling, leasing, all consistent with RCW 4230. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please join me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I would also like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the shores of the Salish Sea and reside on the ancestral lands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. Our next item is to approve today's agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make a change to our posted agenda? And by the way, for the benefit of the audience, Commissioner McCarthy is joining us virtually. John, can you hear us okay?
Don, I am having a hard time hearing you. If you could get closer to the microphone.
Is this better, John?
Check before the... That's much better. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. And so, our next item is to approve today's agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make a change to our posted agenda? Seeing no hands, today's agenda stands as posted. On the consent agenda, we have approval of the minutes of July 21st, 2022. Approval of check certifications from July 2nd to August 3rd. Is there a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Don?
Yes, Commissioner McCarthy.
I had a question on the check certification, so I don't know if you need to remove that from the consent agenda or if you can just let me ask my question before you vote on the consent agenda.
I'd prefer to ask the question. I'm assuming it's a question that could be quickly answered. Ask the question, please.
The Port of Tacoma paid the University of Wisconsin Foundation $5,000 for a sponsorship. Can Eric tell me what that was for?
Eric, did you hear the question? There's a $5,000.
I did hear the question. I believe that was the sponsorship of the mayor's conference in Tacoma. Is that right?
I think our Mayor Woodard's.
Mayor Woodard's hosted a conference of mayors here. I believe it sounds like maybe the University of Wisconsin helped set that up. I don't know about who exactly that was, but that was a sponsorship for that conference that was asked us by the mayor. Sean, do you want to add to that?
You heard the response, John. Commissioner McCarthy?
Yeah, but it was a conference in Tacoma, not just some other work that the University of Wisconsin Foundation was doing.
No, my understanding is that the conference was held here in Tacoma. Tacoma was the host city.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I have some general concern about sponsoring things at the request of elected officials. So that causes me concern.
Okay, is that the only question you have, Commissioner McCarthy? Because
and Don?
Yes.
Yeah, just if I could, yeah. In the packet we received, that was the question number 4, John. So maybe I don't know if you have the packet with you because I know you're out of town, but it'll show a complete description of why that was spent.
Yeah, I think Judy asked the question. I did see the response and I did read it and I have it in front of me, but I wanted to quite frankly see if I got more information because the answer there seemed to indicate that the mayor requested we sponsor something without identifying where it was at. But nonetheless, as much as we all like to work closely with the mayor, I have concerns about requests for sponsorships from other elected officials. I don't think I can request to sponsor hardly anything, but so that causes me concern. But I did see that answer, Dick. Thank you.
Okay, we now have before us the approval of the consent agenda. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Public comment. Is there anyone signed up for public comment? Would anyone in the audience like to make a statement?
I have one that was emailed in. If you'd like me to read that.
Yes, I'd like for you to read it.
So August the 3rd from Morgan Alexander, an Eastside Tacoma resident, said, I and I'm certain many Tacoma residents would like to say thank you to the commissioners questioning the renewal of the WJR lease. This company has added blight to Tacoma's downtown and neighborhoods in the form of frequent toxic fires. They clearly are not managing the property well, as they're damaging the property cap also indicates. I also question the motive of the port's real estate staff in trying to make a quick deal. They clearly do not have the best interests of Tacoma's residents in mind, and this disturbs me greatly. Staff further states that the current use is the highest and best, to which I completely disagree. That thinking is very short-sighted. If the city of Tacoma is to move forward, we need to focus on creating cleaner jobs. If we want to attract world-class businesses and their workers to our downtown, we need to remove offending industrial activities that are negatively affecting the entire city with their noxious aromas and smokestacks. Thank you.
Thank you. And is there anyone else signed up?
No, there are no. There was no one signed up on the sheet.
Okay. Thank you very much. That closes the public comment period. Executive Director's Port, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. President, Commissioners. Eric Johnson, Executive Director of the Port. I have several things to mention for you today, just as informational items. I'll start with a note that there has been a fair amount of concern raised in the community about the Port's proposed off-dock container terminal off of by Thorn and Thorn Road and Maxwell Road. And we have added a lot of information to our website. We have a special tab on the website. If you go to the planning section and then under projects, you'll see a fairly significant description of the background of that project, the rationale for it, the need for it, frankly, the mitigation that the port has already begun for that property. There are a number of photographs as well. So if people have questions about that, I would encourage you or anybody else to go to that tab on our website, when you should be able to get a lot of very accurate information as to what's going on with that project. Second item I wanted to mention is that we are moving towards hiring a consultant at the port for our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. We have an RFP on the street that received a great deal of interest. Over 24 firms were interested in that. That's been reviewed now. We've had a team of staff scoring those, and I believe they're down to a handful that they'll interview. But those efforts will begin fairly soon. Piece of good news for one of our tenants, the Safe Boats tenant, the shipyard out at the Early Business Center, received a small federal grant from MARAD, a small shipyard grant, to buy some equipment for manufacturing of vessels, about a $700,000 grant that they received recently, which will help them substantially. So that's a good piece of news and an important piece of business for us, a valued tenant. And then I want to let you know that we have hired a new community relations staffer that will be helping Leslie in the field. She will begin in the next couple of weeks. Her name is Katie Skelton. She's a native of Pierce County, actually from Eatonville. And she still lives in Eatonville. So that's kind of out your way, Commissioner Mark. And she'll begin in the next first couple of weeks of September. So we're excited to have her coming on board. We've been looking forward to that position. And I will stop there, except to note that we do have a birthday coming on the commission. Before we next meet, Commissioner McCarthy's birthday is September 1st. So we can wish him happy birthday in advance.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your report. And I think the commission is very appreciative of the extra effort on the information in terms of the special tab you made reference to. There's a lot of interest in the community in terms of what we're doing, why we were doing it. I think we're very grateful. Thank you for that. that leads me then to, unless there's questions of Eric at this stage, it takes us to commission actions, habitat mitigation strategy, second reading. Tony, welcome, Tony. Second time around's a charm.
Yeah, we've got Tony Warfield.
This may be about the eighth or ninth time, right, Tony?
There's no such thing as fifth reading, but if we had a fifth reading, this might be it. So you're familiar with Mr. Warfield, but I'll turn it over to him, and he can give you the what is officially the second reading of the habitat mitigation strategy.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me just jump in. I've been formally introduced. So I'm here to request adoption of Resolution 2022-09-PT. Which would update our habitat mitigation strategy. We've had a couple real deep dives on this subject, so my intention was just to go over what has changed from the first reading to the second reading and answer any questions, of course, you may have. So on the first one working with here is Commissioner Meyer had, he wanted to make sure that the successes we had under the last mitigation strategy were noted in the resolution for the updated strategy. So those have been included, which would include the completion of the Upper Clear Creek mitigation site, the near completion of the Lower Wapato, and there's a typo in there, it's not Clear Creek, it's Lower Wapato Creek site, and then the incorporation of salt shock into the Corps of Engineers Blair Waterway deepening study, and we'll talk about that in a few slides here in more detail. And then Commissioner McCarthy wanted to make sure that it was clear what a guiding principle is, or what guiding principles are. So we included this language in the strategy itself where it says these guiding principles are meant to provide staff with strategic direction in the development of future mitigation sites. These principles do not bind the port to future specific actions, nor constrain the port from using a concurrent mitigation approach if deemed necessary for a given development action. And a condensed version of that is in the resolution itself. And Commissioner McCarthy also wanted to make sure it was crystal clear that the strategy doesn't bind the commission's hands, that make it very clear how the authorization process would work for any given recommendation within the strategy. So we included language saying recommended actions will come before the commission in the form of individual projects, interlocal agreements, or as part of the annual budget process in the case of the stewardship program. And then speaking of the stewardship program, Commissioner Ang just wanted to make sure that it was appropriately funded, that we weren't entirely relying on volunteers to take care of our 200 and whatever acres of sites now. So we made that clear within the strategy itself that, you know, that our scope of work is developed for our scope of work for a stewardship program is developed based on a monitoring program, and that scope of work then informs the budget that we put together each year to make sure we can conduct that work for the next year, and that our budget would include time, you know, resources for the administrative staff who manage the program, maintenance staff who do some of the work, and nonprofits who do a good chunk of the work. Okay, so as you know, we got a letter from the Puyallup the Corps got a letter from the Puyallup tribe expressing concerns over the restoration project out at Saltchuk. And the project as described in the feasibility study would be the Cadillac Escalade of restoration jobs. It was the biggest thing that could be done on that site. And they, in conversations with the tribe, their concerns were really around sediment quality. How do we know what we place there is going to be clean? Changes to the current habitat. I think we had some technical disagreements. They valued what was there a little higher than what the port and the Corps valued what was there. And then a concern over the future state of the site. What would that habitat improvement actually look like? How much would it do? So one of the things they made clear was they were concerned about this big scope. They were not concerned about doing something out there. They were really interested in a beach restoration job out there. So let's talk a little bit about that. I'm not sure how the pointer works, so I'll just talk to it. You'll see the big area out there outlined in light blue. That's our leasehold out there. We have a lease with the Department of Natural Resources. Within our, so there'd been log grafting out there for probably 100 years, something like that, long before we ever got the leasehold for the site. And within it, there's some wood waste out there. Those are the light green polygons. There was no reason for us to keep this lease. We want to terminate the lease. DNR is not going to let us do that until we address the wood waste areas. So as we work through the Blair deepening and, you know, and we need to figure out how we actually know what we're going to do. We need to place material on top of those wood waste areas. Right now, they're dead zones. If we place a couple of feet of clean material on it, the benthic community will kick back in, and it will very much improve the habitat in the area and allow us to get terminate that lease. In the beach area outlined in black, so the big area was going to be a restoration job, no credit. It was a freebie to the bay. The beach area is a mitigation site, and that's the site that the tribe's really interested in seeing built out in some way. What we are going to do is work with the Corps, work with the tribe, and ourselves, of course, and just figure out what makes sense out there. You know, we know kind of the baseline. We got to cover the wood waste. We want to restore the beach. It's been starved of nutrients for decades and decades and decades because Marine View Drive has cut off its feeder bluff. So we have within this year's budget some money for a updated basis of design for the beach area. We'll work with the tribe, kind of figure out what makes the most sense. One of the things we would really like to do is find a way to knock down the energy out there. Every time I talk to you guys, I'm like, oh, this is a high energy area. We got to knock down the energy, which would mean a berm or barrier islands, something like that. If we do that, not only we get the habitat improvement, we nourish the beach with that material, but we also, it can be a pretty cool, we can get outcome where we have resiliency in the protection of Marine View Drive, because we're knocking down the energy so the fall storms aren't beating it as hard as they're beating it now, and get some habitat value. So exactly what that looks like, we don't know yet. We've probably got a couple year design process to grind through, again, with the Corps, with the tribe, National Marine Fisheries Service, but that's the goal. That's what we're aiming for.
Good.
I guess I need to exclude the ask, huh? So, in conclusion, staff requests adoption of resolution number 2022-09-PT, superseding resolution 2014-02, and establishing the 2022 Port of Tacoma Habitat Mitigation Strategy.
Tony, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any questions or comments?
I'd just like to thank Tony and the environmental team for coming up with this, as well as for being one of the great habitat restorers and mitigators. And this is really the Port of Tacoma's core strength and advantage, considering now there's also that policy change at NIMS. And so right. I do very much encourage this work. So thank you all.
Very good. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner McCarthy?
Donna had I had a comment if I could, please. My big concern is, we just went through the mitigation project involving Thorn Road, Wapato Creek, and we really, the cost just accelerated on it. And we don't have any cost analysis yet of these projects. And my big concern is particularly Saltchuk, which largely, as I understand it, is not for mitigation of anything. But before we get too far into this, I really want to see some cost analysis because it may be that we can't afford these projects. And the other thing I really think that we need to work with the tribe on is to get them becoming funding partners with some of the habitat mitigation strategies that they would like to see developed over there. They are in a better position than we are to a large extent in receiving grant money for things. So my big concern is that we not get too far out on the limb before we have some idea of the cost of the project, because it may be that we can't afford it. But other than that, thank you for listening to our thoughts and concerns, Tony and staff.
Tony, do you have a comment relative to the financial information?
On the cost issue, I would just note that our basis of design will develop a conceptual scope and a cost estimate for the site. So we really can't estimate out the site until we have some sort of basis of design to work from.
Yeah, very good. I guess my final comment would be is that I really like this project. This is a good project. First of all, you made a very slight reference to it, but we got some dead zones out there. Yeah. And I like the idea of taking those dead zones and creating some fish habitat for it. That's the first thing I like. The second thing is it's a great way to get a win-win strategy relative to dredging of the Blair Waterway. I mean, you can't ask for something better in terms of saying, hey, what do you do with the dredge spoils? Deep water is one thing, but near shore, that's a whole nother matter. So I guess the final thing is I'm really pleased to see us working with the Puyallup tribe to take in consideration their issues, because we all know going forward, we need that as a partnership. So I'll be voting for this, and I'll be happily voting for this because it's the right direction, the right policy, and the right thing to do. Any other comments? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Great job.
Yeah,
and the fifth time is the winner, man. Port of Tacoma Building Demo Program.
Yeah, commissioners, I'll just tee this one up real quickly. I think I mentioned to you earlier that we have a series of old buildings that the port does. You know, we've acquired over the decades for various purposes. We have an opportunity now to demolish those for a higher and better use. We need the land. And we've got Mr. Eli Belega, who's one of our engineering project managers, to give you an overview of these properties and answer any questions that you might have. So, Eli.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I request project authorization in the amount of $176,000 for a total authorized amount of $256,000 for work associated with 2220 East 11th Building Demolition, Master Identification Number 10-15-86.01. In the amount of $1,385,000 for a total authorized amount of $1,000,000 $475,000 for work associated with the 2302 Ross Webb Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-87.01, in the amount of $253,000 for total authorized amount of $313,000 for work associated with the 1110 Alexander Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-88.01, in the amount of $971,000 for total authorized amount of $1,031,000 for work associated with the 2202 Port of Tacoma Road Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-89.01, and in the amount of $256,000 for total authorized amount of $306,000 for work associated with the 2144 Port of Tacoma Road Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-90.01. This demolition project consists of 8 structures on 5 locations. One site south of Tote, 2 sites across from Washington United Terminal, 1 site south of Sitcom, and 1 site on Rossway. The site south of Sitcom on 2220 East 11th Street has a total of 3 small buildings totaling 4,500 square feet. All 3 buildings are beyond their useful life and are non-performing assets. The site is currently being used by port maintenance as storage for rail parts. In 2020, the buildings adjacent to the property were demolished, which opened a multi-acre area for future terminal expansion. Demolishing these 3 small buildings is going to provide an additional 0.59 acres of yard space that will be used for terminal expansion support activities. The site at 2301 The site at 2302 Ross Way contains a warehouse office building, approximately 45,000 square feet. The building is approaching the end of its economic useful life. A roof replacement and other minor improvements will cost north of $1 million. Due to current high demand for additional terminal space and additional space, the property's highest and best use is terminal expansion. The four acre parcel on which this warehouse sits has restricted use because of this warehouse on it. Removal of this warehouse will provide an additional 1.2 acres of yard space and provide the full utilization of the 4 acre parcel. Demolishing this warehouse also eliminates the cost of repairing the roof and making small improvements. The site south of Tote on 1110 Alexander is a 3-acre site with 2 small docks along the Blair Waterway. In 2020, 2 warehouses were demolished, and what remains is this small 4,000 square foot building. At the time of the demolition in 2020, this building had a tenant. Now the building is vacant and presents safety issues and attraction to vandalism. Removing this building provides an additional 1 acre of leasable yard space, making the entire 3-acre site leasable. And the last 2 sites on 2144 and 2202 Port of Tacoma Road are right next to each other and are across from the Washington United Terminal. There's 1 building on each site, a large office warehouse, approximately 39,000 square feet, and a small 6,000 square foot building on the other side. The large warehouse was built in 1980, and a section of it was previously leased by Customs and Border Protection. This building will be vacant by the end of October. The small building was purchased by the port in 1984 and has been used for miscellaneous storage and employee functions over the years. Soon, this building is going to require substantial improvements, maintenance, and repairs. Both buildings are strategically located across from Washington United Terminal. These sites are one of the few port properties available in the area to provide additional terminal expansion. The future highest and best use of these properties is terminal expansion. The remaining scope of work on the project includes finishing design and developing the bid package, hazardous material abatement, disconnecting, cutting, and capping utilities, demolishing the buildings, and making minor site improvements. Design of the project is almost complete. The project will advertise next month. The contract will be awarded in October, and substantial completion is scheduled for December 2022. This is a preliminary schedule and is subject to change. The estimated design and construction budget for the project is $3,381,000. The CIP budget allocates $2,642,000 for the project. The budget will be updated as part of the 2023 budget process. Demolition permits and all other applicable permits have been applied for and will be attained before the project is awarded. There will be no below grade excavation at any of the sites. The risk of encountering any soil or groundwater contamination is low. Best management practices will be implemented to protect the water during construction activities, and best management practices will be implemented as necessary to control fugitive dust during the demolition activities. In conclusion, I request project authorization in the amount of $3,041,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,381,000 for work associated with the 2220 East 11th Buildings demolition, master identification number 10-15-86.01, the 2302 Ross Webb Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-87.01, the 1110 Alexander Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-88.01, the 2202 Port of Tacoma Road Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-89.01, and the 2144 Port of Tacoma Road Building demolition, master identification number 10-15-90.01.
Thank you for your presentation. I just want to be clear before I ask for a motion. So these five items, basically, we can take them all as one motion, and they would add up to that 3.1 million or whatever number you had quoted, Billy. Am I being correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'd like to entertain a motion where all five items as listed here on our agenda be considered.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any comments from commissioners? Commissioner McCarthy, did you hear the motion?
I heard the motion. I have a few questions when it's appropriate.
It's appropriate right now, Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you. Eli, I kind of get sticker shock to demolish these buildings. It's going to cost us $3.3 million. A couple of questions for you, and then one other thing. But why do you have a design and construction budget when it's demolition? What's the design work for? You're just going to go in there and tear them down. I understand it.
Right. The reason for the need for design commissioners, we need to put together the plans and show the contractor what needs to be salvaged. Also, we get the consultants to help us identify any hazardous materials that are available, and that's where some of the design costs come in.
Okay. My second question,
this is probably... Just a
second. I think it might add, does permitting also have a part of that? Because I think during the permitting process, you have to have also a design of how you're going to just... during the demolition, am I right?
That is correct.
Okay. Did you hear that response, Commissioner McCarthy?
Yeah, that's great, thank you. Looking at these pictures, that 2302 Rossway Warehouse, do you could pull up the drawing of that, or the picture of that, it's on page 3 of your memo. Are you able to do that?
He's doing it now.
Oh, great. Thank you. No, the one that, yeah, on the bottom right corner, I'm looking at those beams and that timber, and that's a 44,000 square foot building, which is the size of an acre. And are you doing anything? Have you had anybody assess the value of that timber? You know, first of all, good practices, conservation practice to reuse materials, but those are some pretty big pieces of wood that some people might find great value in. Have you done anything to assess the value of recouping some of the underlying lumber, particularly today when lumber costs are through the roof?
Commissioner, I did talk to some of the engineers and port staff to see if we could salvage some of these beams, recycle them. And if you look at the photo, there's a lot of rot on some of them. So some of them, the sections of them are good, but the other sections got rot on them. And not only that, a lot of them are really dry. So in the past, when we tried salvaging some of that really dry timber, we did not succeed.
Okay. Aren't there experts out there that that will come in and utilize things of that sort that you could reach out to? Or have you thought about that?
Yes, and the architect that we hired, that was the first question that I brought up, whether we could salvage some of this timber. And he thinks the contractor might try, but it's not likely.
Right, because those beams have got to be, 16 by what?
No, they look good, but like I said, once you get close, you start noticing that some of them got some damage in sections of them. So the amount of money you end up spending telling a contractor to try to save a section of the beam ends up taking a lot longer to demo the project. So you're not saving much money.
I know a bunch of guys that are just dying to get some of that high-grade old timber. So anyway, that's my only comment.
Very good. Thank you. Any other commissioner comments, questions?
Yeah, just a comment. First of all, I fully support this project. One of the things that you look back at and what we looked at with regards to our strategic plan, the 2020 plan and so forth, is how we view the port's going to be in the years to come. And these buildings have had their usefulness expire. They're done. It's time to move on and move this project with and our future with regards to expanding our terminal space. So I'm all for this.
Very good. Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. I'm very supportive of this project because I also believe it's the best and highest use of the property. It can be leased to a terminal to expand terminal operations. And as we know, on the West Coast, our terminals are like, our competitive terminals are not able to expand properties like we can to lend support to containerized activity. And it will also lead to more jobs. So it makes us more competitive, adds more jobs. Very supportive of it. Thank you.
Very good. The last comment I guess I would have, or question I would have, is on this demo, you're not going to go into the dirt.
That's correct.
So does that mean you're not going to remove the concrete floors or the foundations?
That's correct.
So you're basically going to take everything except for the concrete?
Correct. The slab's going to remain.
And why? Because the reason I'm raising that question is my assumption has been is I always favor even a temporary use of these sites because we all know there's a need for additional space. And so if you're going to leave the foundation in place, isn't that going to inhibit our ability to have even a temporary use of these sites?
No, Commissioner, you could have that temporary use of the facilities with the slabs in place.
Oh, so these are the walls.
The walls will go down.
So that's a slab on grade construction.
Right. So the slabs themselves, the area will be.
The idea is to level it.
Correct.
And some of it's going to be concrete. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay. Hearing no further questions. All those in favor of the program of the five items, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
John? Commissioner McCarthy?
Aye. Yes.
It's unanimous. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item we have, thank you, Eli, Executive Director, Annual Evaluation and Compensation Change. For the benefit of those individuals listening in and everyone else, one of the major responsibilities of the Commission is the annual evaluation of the Executive Director of the Port of Tacoma. And so here's my memo talking about our process and a little bit about some of the subjects we've discussed with our Executive Director, Mr. Eric Johnson. One of the essential functions of the Commission is the annual evaluation of the Port's Executive Director, Eric Johnson. This recommendation for a compensation change is a result of our evaluation process over the last 90 days. It began with Eric's self-evaluation, covering his performance over the last 12 months and his priorities for the next 12 months. The Commission then provided individual feedback, which is compiled into a single document. This letter summarized some of the key points from that process. The Commission is pleased with Eric's work ethic, his listening skills, and the integrity he brings to this position. A major part of his responsibility is working collaboratively with external stakeholders, and his focused efforts working with the Puyallup Tribe on economic and environmental opportunities are greatly appreciated. Keeping the Blair Waterway dredging project on schedule is another example of a job well done. Real estate is a major focus of the position, and the Commission is pleased not only with the financial results, but also his identification of a key opportunity for future expansion of our terminals, just the very projects we just talked about. Although it is frustrating to see how long it takes to fill authorized staff positions, we remain eager to see the results of the additional staff and the improved communication with the Commission. Eric has a good understanding of key initiatives underway, such as Maytown, the Wheeler-Osgood redevelopment, and transportation planning. The focus for the future is improving communication with the Commission on implementation plans and schedules. The newly authorized strategic policy position should help address the desire for improved understanding of objectives. It is also recommended that routine meetings with represented labor groups be set up as a way for improving communication. Eric's ability and knowledge to influence public policy is one of his key strengths, particularly given his input on transportation projects and general port policies. A key outcome for the next 12 months is finalizing the transportation study currently underway. We must have absolute clarity on our priorities and the ability to work with other stakeholders for funding opportunities. Eric's overall performance is meeting Commission expectation, and I recommend a 4.2% salary increase. This recommendation is also based on the comparison of other comparable ports. Eric's new annual salary with the 4.2% increase will be $232,990. His car allowance continues at $8,400 a year, bringing the new total compensation to $241,390 effective September 1st, 2022. A copy of this action shall be placed in Eric's personnel file. This is basically signed by Don Meyer, Commission President, Port of Tacoma Commission. I would like to move that the Port of Tacoma Commission authorize a 4.2% salary increase for the Executive Director, bringing his annual salary to $232,990. His car allowance will continue at $700 a month for a total annual compensation of $241,390 effective September 1st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. Now, any further comments by my fellow commissioners?
Just a quick comment, too, because I do appreciate all the work that Eric's done sometimes under difficult situations. But I also want to point out your environmental background and how much you've helped us with that. I think that is key to the position that you hold, and it's nice to have someone with experience in that field.
Thank you. Any further comments? Commissioner Keller.
I'd also like to thank Eric for everything that he's done. When I took office in 2020, it was COVID hit. You've led the Port of Tacoma through all kinds of different things. The Northwest Seaport Alliance and the Port of Seattle have taken some of our staff. You've had to backfill with a lot of that. Your responsibilities have increased since 2020, and you've handled it beautifully, and you've done a great job with keeping the desire of the Port of Tacoma to be still a family atmosphere. You're not micromanaging, but you're still giving great leadership. So we really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
I guess I should add thank you for guiding us through the pandemic and having that knowledge of ports, and definitely an improvement with our relationship with the Puyallup tribe to the point where we're doing business. So great.
Very good. Commissioner McCarthy, do you have any comments?
Nothing additional.
Okay, thank you very much. The motion before us is to approve the salary as or compensation adjustment as recommended. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion aye. Carries. Congratulations, Eric. And thank you for your efforts, your knowledge, and your commitment to the Port of Tacoma and our community.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. It's always a relief to have a job at the end of the commission meeting.
Okay, very good. Next item is one of my favorite topics, workforce development strategic plan. Leslie, or?
This is a continuation of a discussion that we began actually quite a few months ago, and you saw a fair number of detail presented and discussed last meeting. We've had a work group that consists of Commissioners Meyer and Keller, who have spent a lot of time on the side meeting and guiding us, guiding staff, and Leslie Barstow, our Community Relations Manager, has been leading these efforts, ably leading them, I might add. And Leslie, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Eric. Leslie Barstow, Community Relations Manager of the Port of Tacoma. Oh, I guess I need this thing. So today I'm here to ask for an authorization to adopt this Workforce Development Strategic Plan, increasing the Port of Tacoma's workforce development investments within Pierce County by $169,750, bringing the Port of Tacoma's workforce development investments within Pierce County to a total of $404,744 in 2023, thus implementing the Port of Tacoma's Resolution 2022-03 and Strategic Plan Goal EV4 as recommended by the Workforce Development Committee. As a reminder, the Port of Tacoma's adopted strategic plan, strategy number 4 of the economic vitality, which is the center cog of the strategic plan, it reads, partner with regional organizations to facilitate career development and business growth within Pierce County. To execute that strategy, a workforce development committee was formed, as Mr. Johnson mentioned, by Commissioners Meyer and Keller, Executive Director Johnson, Government Affairs Director Egan, and myself. The next two slides summarize the six steps we developed to create a roadmap to that workforce development strategic plan. These are the first three. From these six steps, the workforce development roadmap, a set of major, medium, and minor initiatives were recommended by the committee. As a reminder, they are as follows. I'm going to highlight on the major initiatives one slide here. The second one was to execute an RFP for an organization or a coalition of organizations partnering together to provide career launch opportunities in the building trades, marine, maritime logistics trades, and in Pierce County for youth and young adults 16 to 24 years old, intentionally supporting the creation of an inclusive workforce. Wages for internships and paid work experiences would be subsidized and reimbursed by the contractor, who would also facilitate the work site arrangements and support recruitment and placement into these roles. On a side note, we understand that some community organizations have approached the commission about funding capital campaigns. I understand legal has shared with you what we may or may not be permissible in that space. But we would also suggest that some of these organizations that are engaged in workforce development might be a place where the port would support them, and we would very much encourage them to compete for these funds. A review of some of the medium initiatives. Some of the minor initiatives. And then opportunities for advocacy. Commissioners, a couple of notes on the financial summary. On this slide, the total was increased by $7,000 as Human Resources informed us to do 5 robust paid internships with the Port of Tacoma 47,000 rather than 40, which I presented to you last month, would be the correct amount. As you know, there are several other Pierce County entities that have approached the port looking for investment dollars in workforce development activities and training. The Workforce Development Committee suggested doing a budget of $100,000 to contract with third-party organizations or a coalition of organizations partnering together to develop these opportunities. Per RCW 53.08.245, those contracts would carry a requirement to submit annual quantitative information on the program outcomes, which would include number of workers trained, recruited, placed in jobs, and retrained, the types of jobs and range of compensation, the number and types of businesses served, and many other tangible benefits realized by the port, the workers, businesses, and the public would be required. If you would like to increase the amount budgeted for those contracts to increase the port's impact on the workforce in Pierce County, you can advise us of that, and we will adjust that procurement accordingly. A summary of the economic impacts from these recommendations. All of these impacts would help the port intentionally advance workforce opportunities for the diverse communities and increase the impact the Port of Tacoma can have throughout Pierce County. If you approve the Workforce Development Strategic Plan today, this slide highlights what the next steps would be to execute the plan, beginning with actual implementation in first quarter of 2023. So once again, this is an authorization to request an adoption of the Workforce Strategic Plan, increasing the Port of Tacoma's workforce development investments within Pierce County by $169,750, bringing the Port of Tacoma's workforce development investments within Pierce County to a total of $404,744 in 2023, thus implementing the Port of Tacoma's Strategic Resolution 2022-03 and Strategic Plan Goal EV4 as recommended by the Workforce Development Committee. And I'll just add, this is not an authorization to spend that money. That is an authorization to budget that money. And then we will see how those partnerships and those RFPs develop.
Thank you very much, Leslie, for your efforts and for your work, as well as Sean. There it is. When we first started on this process, I was a little bit uncertain as to where we would end up. But I think we're ending up in a very good spot, and I'm just very thankful for the excellent staff work that we've received on this. So I'd like to entertain a motion as proposed by Leslie.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further questions or comments by the commission? Commissioner Keller.
I just want to, for the record and also for the public listening in, the Port of Tacoma has from time to time, as you can see, spent monies in this space, but I don't think it's been made as transparent and put into a strategic plan like this. And so I think sometimes you have to put things on paper and make sure that we're holding to it. I also want to thank Leslie, because Leslie has worked on a lot of these things before, and I didn't even know about it so until we started in on this. But I want to thank you for your work in this space. I know she's really happy to formalize a lot of this and give recognition. This is community wealth building, and that's part of our job as economic developers as well. And this is all very much done in partnership with our communities, and I think that that's important, as well as our labor force, and exposing our BIPOC communities to the maritime industry, which they have requested. When I was on the campaign trail in 2019, that was something very important to them. People who live and work around this area, a lot of them have never been down on the waterfront, which is hard for me to believe, but this is a chance for us to really reach out into our communities and show them what possibilities for job creation, or what, you know, what they can do within like a new career with their families or whatever. But I want to thank you for all your work, Leslie.
Thank you.
Very good. Any further commissioner comments? Commissioner Ng?
I'll go ahead, I guess, McCarthy.
Just a minute.
I just want to thank Leslie and Commissioner Keller and Meyer and Sean for putting in the efforts and the outreach to all these community organizations, all the work. This has been years in the making, and it is great that we're finally formalizing and also recognizing some of the work that you all have been doing these years that's not been formalized. So, and I'm looking forward that this is the great start, and I think we're going to get better and better every year. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Commissioner McCarthy?
Yes, I support the work that's been done on this and support these investments. I will say some of it will come back to us as we I suppose, make some selections as to who's going to do some of the work with this. Other parts of this, I have concerns of, and I've expressed that the internship program, which will be Eric's responsibility to implement and execute, I want to make sure that internship program is transparent. I have concerns about who's making the decisions on who the interns are. So, Eric, as you implement and execute that part of the plan, which probably won't come back to us, I hope you keep in mind some of the concerns that I and others have expressed.
Very good. Any further comments? Commissioner Mark?
Yeah, just a quick comment. I fully support this, and I want to give a personal thank you to Leslie and for all the work that you've done, sometimes being the lone person out there, you know, with regard to the community. There's a lot of community events that Leslie attends that we as FI cannot all be there. I know Sean has done that, and so has many people on the Port staff, and just a great appreciation for the Port family that gets out there and reaches out and represents us in the Port, in the community. It's very thankful, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very good. I guess the couple of comments that I would have is, first of all, the best part about this from a process standpoint is we start it with our customers. We ask businesses. And I think that was the genius of how we started, was saying, let's ask our business community as well as ourselves in terms of what's needed to be done. The second thing is that I know that sometimes commissioners have frustrations about the budgeting process, where you get into the budgeting process and all of a sudden you get a recommendation and you didn't have any policy direction in the formation of a budget process. This, to me, is good public policy for the commission to have input, Eric, as you put the budget together. Because some of the items that Commissioner McCarthy is talking about or beyond are really reflected in how does the budget go together and what policy direction did we give in the formulation of that. So in addition to the fact, this is just good staff work, Mr. Johnson, and we're very appreciative. Okay, hearing no further comments, all those in favor of our workforce development strategic plan, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Commissioner McCarthy, how did you vote?
I voted yes.
Very good. It's unanimous. Thank you very much,
thank
Leslie.
You.
And thank you, Sean, for your efforts. Okay, next item we have on our agenda is non-action new business. Any commissioners have any new business item they'd like to discuss? Hearing none, committee reports. Are there any committee reports today? Oh? Any issue? Oh, issue briefing.
Yeah, Mr. President, we have an issue briefing for you, which is really the budget, the early stages of the budget discussion process. So, you know, it's August. It seems like it's early to think about next year, but it's not early to think about next year. So we have been beginning the budget process. That action you just took on workforce was a key piece of input for us, by the way, as we build that. But we're going to give you a briefing now. You're going to hear from Aaron Galeno, our CFO, on a couple of things. One is the capital investment plan that's proposed. This is draft. This is you can edit this and take things off. And then also an overview of the budget schedule going forward over the next few months with an indication of where your points are for input, where we're going to be asking you for some of your priorities so that we can build them in to the budget that eventually is adopted in, I believe, November. Right? So there are a number of decisions for you to make between now and then, and we're starting the process of teeing those up. So, Aaron, we'll turn it over to you.
Terrific. Thanks. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Aaron Galeno, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. And actually, today is a great day for me to be going after the action items, because those all really come back to, we talk about policy and how that ties into the budget. All of these are executing items that have been identified in the strategic plan, which really makes our budgeting process easier, because we can bring back to you, you know, the investments and the operating costs associated with this, with these items that you've set forth. So I want to start off with just a little bit about, you know, the budget process. We're in the process of gathering data now, and we'll be continuing to seek your input. And so, you know, today we're going to just talk very high level about the draft capital investment plan, which you all have received the details and have the opportunity to give us some feedback as we continue to shape that. In early September, we anticipate that we'll have information from the county that will talk about the tax levy assessment. We'll come back to you for policy setting around how you want to address the Port of Tacoma's tax levy. If we're ready, we'll be doing that in September. And then in October, we'll be providing you the pre-read materials around the budget, the operating budget, plan of finance. Again, our, you know, further refined draft capital investment plan, and a preview of some of the budget document items. That'll all be anticipation of our study session, which is November 3rd, with adoption on November 17th. Just a reminder for the public, you know, what is our capital investment plan? This is really where we look at how we make investments to extend or improve the safety or efficiency of our port-owned assets and around the infrastructure and benefits, investments, infrastructure investments that benefit the community as well as the marine cargo activities. We generally budget in a five-year cycle for a capital investment plan. And we use, and we talked a little bit about this last year, we've developed a two-stage process to really vet within the organization the priorities and the investment areas that we want to continue to put forth. And again, we have the opportunity to really assess that against the strategic plan. That's been very helpful as we start looking at those areas of priority in terms of your feedback from a policy perspective. And then just a reminder, we bring the capital investment plan forward as part of when we have the operating budget approved, but individual projects are approved either by the commission or if they fall within the delegated amount to the executive director under $300,000, he would move those forward. Let's talk a little bit about this year. So, you know, I think historically trying to spend at that planned rate has been a challenge. COVID has certainly provided some additional challenges with supply chain, labor, resources. And so you look at our original plan, we are not very far along in terms of spending. Now, what I will say is I'll show you on the next page what we think we're still going to get accomplished this year. And I think today's actions actually help further that. But we are getting going on a few items, and like I said, I'll show you on the next page. There's, you know, a combination of things that are going on here. And again, you heard the demolitions. That's really, I think, things we had anticipated into the future. And we've pulled those forward because now we have the opportunity to put those properties into productive use quicker. And again, that really ties back to, you know, economic vitality and what we're trying to do from a strategic plan perspective. So there are some areas there that you approved today that we didn't necessarily budget in 2022, but as you saw from Ellie's plan, now that he's approved, we're hoping to actually get through that by the end of the year, which is, you know, a significant investment. Then there's some items around the Port Administration Building Improvement that we thought we'd be able to get done in 2021. And with supply chain issues and labor issues, they really pulled over into finishing up this year. So we had budgeted for those in terms of the roof replacement, some of the other repairs, but they kind of carried over a lot of the spending ended up happening this year. So that's where you see some of the variations to what we planned and what we have been executing against. And, you know, if we do execute on the land purchases this year, then we really will come closer to hitting this number. But again, it's still a stretch target. But I think today's decisions help us move forward with getting many of these things that we have anticipated, that we plan, that are really part of executing our strategic plan in place and completed this year. This is, and as an attachment to the materials that you provided, the pre-read materials, we have a complete, you know, layout of all of the projects, you know, for your review. And then I would ask each of you, if you have questions, you can send them back to us. More information about a project that you haven't seen on there that you think fits into our priorities. We can certainly adapt the plan or provide you feedback on why it was or was not in the current plan. But, you know, as we look at the trends, there's a significant number of spending that we're anticipating next year. And as I get into next slide, I'll kind of talk, that's a couple of key things that are really, you know, impacting our 2023 and, you know, expected capital investment. And then we go through a bit of a trend out to 2027, why it starts kicking back up is we're looking at the dredge costs. That's really what's driving those out of year anticipated open water dredging. And you can see that here as we kind of laid that out a little bit in terms of we've still budgeted about $20 million for land acquisitions this year. And then into 2023, we've also added an additional $20 million in terms of potential land acquisitions. And again, that provides us some opportunity and within the capital investment plan to give you the leverage to go out and look and acquire those strategic properties.
Aaron, real quick, I'm sorry, could you say that again? Because we budgeted $20 million every year. And then you said we're going to, it looks like in 2023, we're going to do another $28 million.
So what we have, we still have $20 million for this year.
Right.
And then we have budgeted into 2023 an additional $20
million. So I'm assuming.
Right. But it's the same, yeah.
The total is $40
million. Over this year and next year. And what we have not budgeted each of the, we've not budgeted $100 million.
Okay,
we've budgeted $20 million for 2023. Again, kind of cycling through as we look a little more near term on the land acquisitions.
Okay, got it.
And that's something for you to ponder. If you'd like us to reflect additional potential capital investments on land acquisition in outer years, we can certainly add that in. And looking at 2023, like I said, there's a couple of significant items that really, you know, demonstrate where we think we're going to be spending the money next year. We talked about land acquisitions. Certainly part of, you know, economic vitality is an area that you've, you know, committed to looking at furthering our portfolio. And then we talked a little bit about the potential off-dock facility which is located on Thorn Road. And one thing to note here, when we budget our capital investment plan, we budget the costs, but oftentimes we are successful at receiving grants. And those grants are not, these numbers are gross numbers. They're not reduced by the grants. Grant funding, we take that in, we actually, from an accounting perspective, treat it differently. But what our intent here is to show the total investment, how we fund it, make them through other sources. But certainly when we look at some of the key things around the off-dock facility, there's grant funding that we've received that we are continuing to go after that will help offset part of the port's direct capital investment to secure these options. So
I assume, Aaron, we'll see some of those numbers reconciled relative to the cash flow capability. Yeah. Right. How much are you assuming from, you know, cash from port operations, cash from other grants? And so you'll have a reconciliation to say, here's how it fits. So and we have a balanced budget. Yeah.
Yes, and that's a great question, because what you're seeing here is just a micro component. Yeah. When we come back, you know, the operating budget will really look more closely at our expenditures next year. The plan of finance will really give us a more of a cash flow, you know, funding view, and that will all come forward as part of the study session in early November.
Very good. The other thing, though, that I will also say, when I looked at your list, which was good, but I have to say, you know, one of the things that I think commissions sometimes have had frustrations with is we do this strategic plan, then it sits on a shelf, and then we do a budget plan, and that sits on a shelf as we implement. Can we ever integrate the two to where when we talk about a capital investment program, we can say these are the five categories, and these are the, you know, these are, this is how we're spending our money relative to implementation of the strategic plan, because that thing costs us a lot of money. And I know Eric, I know in the conversations I've had with you, you're tracking that. But oftentimes when we get to the budget, it's kind of like, well, you know, what does Parcel 14 really mean? What does, you know, the Blair Waterway really mean? So I'm just suggesting maybe a more of a, when it comes time for us to have a public conversation and for us to digest it, is maybe having more of a focused outcomes in terms of our strategic direction. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Connect the dots.
Yes.
Yeah. And what? Yeah. Yes. And
well, making one of the things is our strategic plan. I think we're in the process of implementing.
Right.
budget is a major policy statement, mm-hmm. and keep those two integrated. Connect the dots, as Commissioner Mazzella said.
And I think as we start bringing more of this kind of raw data
together,
bringing it together so we do, because when you think about the capital investment plan and you look back at the five, you know, key areas around the strategic plan, you think of economic vitality, environmental leadership, transportation advocacy. Most of the things in the capital investment plan really link back into those. And so as we bring the study session and more of this together, trying to help. Now, it's really helping inform us in terms of what areas here are critical. But our job is then to kind of bring that back together for you at the study session so you can say, okay, I really understand. Because many of the things that you'll like around organizational effectiveness and community, you know, connections, much of that will show up in the operating budget. So I think as we start bringing all those pieces together to help, it provides us more policy guidance that we then can help identify when we bring this all together. How are we aligning the dollars with what you've built in the strategic plan? So that really is part of us bringing it all together. And I think we'll see some of that in the budget document as well, which, you know, allows us to, you know, really gather from what you've already done and approved.
Very good. Thank you.
And this, I'm not going to go through it. We had a good example this last year. As we mentioned, we've built a two-stage process. It's a very good, rigorous process around evaluating, you know, investments internally and as we progress them to this level. And then, again, we're matching that against the strategic plan in terms of your policy guidance on, you know, where should we be focusing the investment dollars. And that's our brief kicking off the budget.
Well, very good, Aaron. Any further commissioner comments? Commissioner McCarthy?
Yes, you know, Aaron, when I look at this five-page list, it's really hard to put that in context unless I have last year's to compare it to. Because I know, like, we went over it last year. If you either started with that list or started with this list and X'd out things that you took out or put in things that are new, that'll help me focus on how we've changed our focus from our capital budget that we talked about last year as opposed to this year. So can you do that? Can you integrate the two documents so I'm able to see the corrected version and what's been taken out and what's been put in? Can you do that?
We can provide that. I believe what you're asking is take what we thought we would spend in 2023 during last year's budget and compare it to what we now think we'll spend in 2023.
It would that and going forward.
Okay,
the 5 years too.
Okay, we will.
Because that'll help me understand. Because during the course of the year, we've had a lot of conversations and we've changed our focus. But rather than looking at this document and wondering whether we've got it all in there that we've talked about over the last year, that will help me understand what the new thought is and what the other thing is I know we talked about a prioritization analysis, which is the same thing as Commissioner Myers talking about. What's our top five things? Are you going to take a stab at that in a CIP project list?
Commissioner McCarthy, maybe the thought process, I'm assuming that's going to come forward, is that in both the operating as well as the capital, when we look at our overall budget, we will have priorities as the executive director is going to articulate, whether it's in the operating budget or in the capital budget. The main thing is areas of focus and implementation.
Thank you.
I'm assuming that's what will happen. So in terms of the, because I want to see the overall budget,
right.
Mm-hmm. And what are the priorities, both operating as well as capital, because I don't want to separate the two.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think all that will come together at the study session.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I always thought we asked for that, but maybe we didn't.
Well, and one of the things that we have done that's been a change in practice the last couple of years is we're coming to you with more raw data earlier.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, it's allowing you to see some of this before we've kind of put together. So if you have more opportunity to question items earlier that then we can build in. So by the time we come with the study session, we have a more robust view and input.
But I like where Commissioner McCarthy is going in terms of priorities.
Yes.
So Commissioner McCarthy?
Yeah, no, just because the five-page list, I mean, if we, you know, if we did it in order of priority or some such mechanism that, and I could compare it what we thought a year ago, what we're thinking now, what we're thinking our priority is, that's, I think, I know Don Johnson and I had conversations about that, you know, where Don used to say, we got to have a list up on the board of the top five things we want to do. Yeah, and every time we talk about spending money on it, we've got to look at it and say, well, what's got to come off the list before we can do that? So, I mean, that's the kind of analysis that I hope in this process that we're able to do, prioritize and prepare.
I think that's a good comment. Commissioner Marzullo.
Yeah, I just want to say, and we've done that in the past where we prioritize one, these are the projects that are mainly what we're focusing, two, this is things we, and three, way out there, things some that we're going to be doing maybe 5-10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of, just like John talked about, what can we do and what do we have to do to make that happen?
Yep. Yeah.
I can very just good. Add one question. Curious, Aaron, how do we account for our habitat mitigation credits and then the value of the assets and then as we expend them out for certain projects? Are we going to see that in anywhere there, or is that different? Different report?
I think it'd probably be best if I provided a written follow-up on that just so we can, because if I try to explain it verbally, I might get a little too accountant-ish for you.
Okay, thank
but,
you.
But we will be able, I think because of the nature of that, the plan of finance, so when we look at with the balance sheet and really the cash flow, it may not be as apparent in the P&L because of what we're doing. We're building an investment that then will either be sold or assigned to projects. So we can follow up with kind of how that will integrate into our overall plan.
Okay, thanks.
Very good.
I just want to add, I think following up on what, something that Commissioner Marzano was mentioning, sometimes the priorities change depending upon external parties and things like grant opportunities, or in the case of the viaduct demolition, you know, that was a priority for us, but when the city expressed a willingness to partner with us to move that along, it moved up the priority list because we were able to get it done, you know, quickly. So you have to be on the balls of your feet sometimes, especially with transportation projects, because the political context changes sometimes, and so.
But that's also, wouldn't you say, Eric, the entrepreneurial nature of the port business.
Absolutely.
Anyway, because we want to always have the ability to respond to changing environment, and whether it's projects or whether it's lease opportunities or whatever else. So, okay. Listen, unless there's further comments, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Look forward to the next step of the process, and good luck, and see you a little bit later.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, we're now down to announcements or commissioner comments. Any further comments or announcements by commissioners?
I have one.
Commissioner Keller.
It was exciting last week on Friday. I was able to come out and present a plaque to Ocean Network Express. I presented it to the Vice President of Operations in North America, to this organization. They brought out, and you probably saw this big magenta ship. They say it's not pink, it's magenta.
It's not pink. It's not pink.
But 11,800 TEUs that came into Husky Terminal. And for this particular ship, this was her first port of call in North America. It happened here at the Port of Tacoma. So I was really proud to be able to present it.
Thank
and
you.
She is big and she is pink. I mean, magenta.
Any further comments by commissioners?
Well, I think Commissioner Meyer and I were with Senator Murray yesterday with regards to, was that yesterday or the day before? I'm losing track regarding the Inflation Reduction Act and the $3 billion set for ports, plus the unprecedented investments in climate, about $370 billion, in which we said we could use that for shore power and decarbonizing our trucks. One of the things that I also was thinking about is, if do we need a lobbyist for just the Port of Tacoma, solely for us, not necessarily Seaport Alliance, to
capture some of these opportunities with this unprecedented level of funding. And that's what I was thinking of.
Commissioner Ng, I really appreciate that reference, because that was one of the items I was going to bring up. Because after that press event, on the way home, I was thinking, well, what does this really mean for the Port of Tacoma? Because one of the questions that came up is in that federal act, there is not a allocation set aside for the state of Washington. It's competitive. A lot of it's competitive. And I was thinking about that, and the thought I had, Eric, was, well, wait a minute. You have a federal program on climate action, then we have a lot of state actions that are being implemented on or expectations created. And a little bit to what I think Commissioner Ng is talking about. Well, first of all, how do we understand what's at the federal level, and how do we understand the relationship at the state level, and how do those two things work? So I guess maybe what I would like for you to consider, and this may be something we need to talk with John Wolf, the CEO of the Northwest Seaport Alliance, can somebody do a comparison of this stuff so that we have information from a policy standpoint? A best example I have is, I think it's first part of September, there's going to be a conversation with the governor's office relative to the topic of climate change and a variety of other things. And I sure want to be prepared, or for my fellow commissioners to be prepared, whomever or wherever they are in the community, to be able to talk about those two projects from a knowledge base rather than just as an assumption base. And I'm not asking for 5-10 pages of analysis. I'm asking for something very simplistic to say, if the federal government is all competitive, where do we compete, and how does that relate to state programs, so that we have got something that's fact-based rather than just my assumption about this or that. So, yeah. Commissioner Ng, because ultimately what you're talking about is, well, wait a minute, if we're going to take advantage of this and be competitive, what does that say?
That we might need a representative out there in D.C. with collaborating with Sean.
We need to start from a factual base and a little more information for the commissioners.
Yeah, a couple things real quickly, because I don't disagree. And one of the things that I think we need to do is talk to Ryan McFarland with regard to the federal what things that we as a Northwest Seaport Alliance can ask for. With regard to state, I know Sean is going to get up there and say something.
He's going to straighten us out.
We met the other day with Senator Conway, and we talked about different grants and different things of the state. So, Sean, why don't you hit that? I know you're going to talk about some grant.
And the answer is?
That's a great question. Again, for the record, Sean Egan, Government Affairs Director. That is an exercise, quite frankly, that we are, as staff, both on a home port and a seaport alliance perspective, that we are attempting to work through. You know, just as I step back and we talk about the world of grants, we always sit there and say, what's our running list of priorities and projects for either organization? And then you're constantly looking out there at the universe of grant and funding opportunities, and you're constantly evaluating plug and play and what fits in where and what have you. And there are a variety of different factors to be taking into account. It is sort of the size of the pot of money, the size of the project, what are the standards associated, and are there maybe some opportunities to seek funding from multiple sources? And it's a jigsaw puzzle that you're trying to put together, and I'll be honest, we are still as staff starting to have that conversation. One of the things that's also worth noting is that there are certain, just always note that when it comes to the federal funding, there are two factors that you always have to take into account. You have to go through the NEPA process, which is more complicated, more time-consuming, and can be more expensive than the SEPA process, right? And so just know that that's an extra wrinkle you have to account for. The other wrinkle is that many of the federal dollars are tied to Buy American requirements. And so when we back up and look at something like the question of cargo handling equipment, for example, some stuff you can buy in the United States, some stuff you can't. And so now all of a sudden you're sort of stuck. Can you obtain a federal waiver and things like that? I just give these as examples of the myriad of variables that we're attempting to take into account as we try to think about our overall strategy. So I think you raise a very good point. And as we think through this more and get better insights on our side, we are happy to share this with both the commission and the managing members. And I will tell you, and we'll think about how, what's the best way to digest that into something relatively simple and digestible, realizing this isn't. And so we will definitely think through that process.
But Sean, my suggestion would be, keep it fairly simple, because there's probably about four buckets that are absolutely paramount, one of which is the shipping side, which is shore power primarily. The other side is cargo handling equipment. The other side is trucks. And the other side is buildings. Now, if you take those four items and say digest all of this, either at the federal level or at the state in terms of the policy and the funding opportunities, then that's something we can talk to. That's something that we relate to. Because oftentimes for constituents, that's what they're going to ask us about, trucks.
And, yeah, exactly. And you will be happy to know we actually have a meeting scheduled on a staff level. I think it's next Wednesday as we're trying to think through some of these things. So the work is coming. And this is just one of those where I don't have the nice, concise, neat answer. Happy to riff offline about some initial thoughts, but I don't want to take too much of your time today. So.
No, but thank you, Sean, because, again, we know it just happened, but let's not miss this golden opportunity because, as far as I'm concerned, Senator Murray did her job, the policy and the funding. Now it's up to us to do our job at the local level to compete for it. So we got to make doggone certain we're competitive both at the federal level, state level, and even at the local level. So thank you.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you all are working on and staff seeking the $10.5 million for remedial action grants. So if there's anything on the federal level with regards to accelerating some of our remediation cleanup, that would be great because there is no more industrial lands. That's what I keep on hearing. Or they're too much expensive even for our budget. And so I would love to have some focus on that. And we will
double check on the Inflation Reduction Act to see if there's anything there. There are certain brownfield grants that are out there on the federal level. One of the challenges that we sometimes experience is that there are sometimes where you can, I hate to say this, double dip and get multiple sources of funding. Usually on the cleanups, our experience has been as soon as ecology realizes you've obtained some funding over here, oh, great, we'll reduce what we're giving to you on the remedial action grant. And if you get federal dollars, again, the federal process is not as easy to work through and manage the money as opposed to the state. So traditionally, we've focused on remedial action grants in that space there because it's a known commodity. It's a good place where we have a good relationship. We all collectively know how this works. So.
I guess the last comment I would have on that is we just received a report relative to grant applications, and I thought the list was pretty doggone impressive in terms of the success that we've had from a staff standpoint. I don't know if you all saw that list. It was very impressive, and we're as a commissioners, we all know a couple of things in terms of the community that works together gets more money together. That's as simple as that. That's Meyer's version of life. and it's true. It's absolutely true. So with that, what time is it, Judy?
It is 1:27.
With no further business before the commission, we will adjourn exactly at the time Judy announced. Thank you.
That's all you did.
I did it.